everyone. This is Courtney Edwards. You're listening to the HER podcast from the Razorback Campersdale Studio. This show's focus is highlighting women in the community who are making an impact, whether big or small. Hi, everyone. Today with me, I have Alice Bade. She is the general manager of KVRE 92.9 in the Village.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Alice.
Hi. How are you, Courtney?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
All right, and for those of you who don't know, she is the daughter of Tom and Polly Nichols, who established the first radio station in Glenwood, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's where I grew up.
It is. So were you alive when they started that? How old were you?
Well, I was born in 74, which makes me 48. And my dad at the time was actually the general manager of KZNG here in Hot Springs and had been the general manager, I think, total for around 16 years. And then they just had the opportunity to go into partnership with someone and to establish the first radio in Pike County. So in 1980, when I started first grade, we moved over to Glenwood, and I spent my entire childhood over there.
Right. Yeah. So do you remember that any?
Vaguely. Not so much, you know, the ins and outs. I remember more Glenwood than anything else. And it was so funny at the time, you know, my mom would take me to school and my dad was on the air in the morning. And there was a part of me that was like, oh, that's so cool. My dad's on the radio, you know. And but then he would start talking about me and I'd be like, oh, no, don't talk about me. But now it's just something that I've just, you know, I've grown into and embraced, and here we are.
All right. So do you remember the first time your voice was ever on the radio?
Well, no, I don't, because my dad would record things of me when I was little on cassette tapes at the time, and he would play them on the radio. And at that time, I wouldn't have had any concept. But he still has those, actually, and he'll bring them in from time to time and let the staff there be like, oh, listen to little Alice. And it's just crazy, some of the things that, you know, just come out. So, but I'm thankful, too, though, because a lot of people don't have things like that. You know, their parents don't have radio stations or in broadcasting. And that was a time before we had iPhones and Androids where you could record and... So I treasure that he has those now.
Yeah, they could have been a little more embarrassing.
They could have been,
earlier,
yes.
But,
yes.
You know. So your parents are actually the owners of KVRE.
They
currently.
Are. They are.
So are you their boss? Are they your boss? What's going on there?
Well, technically, they own the station. I run the station. It's because everything now is computer generated. Everything from, you know, programming to filing things with the FCC, and my dad does not. He doesn't have a computer. He has a typewriter. So I like to say that I'm in charge. You know, I tell people this all the time. I do everything in that building from signing the paychecks to cleaning the toilets. I mean, that's just how we do things, because we're a family-run business. But I run it day to day. But if I come into a snafu or if I need advice on something, they're the first ones I go to. So there's never a time that they're not in the loop on what's going on. So it is, and my staff is the same way, because my staff has been with me. I have a fabulous staff, and you know we're all about brainstorming, and you know, if they need advice from me on a certain project they're working on, you know, and if I can't give them to them, my dad will be happy to step in and say, I think you need to go this direction. And so it's all about just trying our best every day to produce a quality product.
Right.
So, but yeah, they are still involved. I do. I like to say I'm the boss, but you know, the final word goes with them.
Yeah.
So,
I guess they have the most experience of everyone.
They have the most experience, yes, because my dad is just finishing up his 64th year in broadcasting. In November, he'll start year 65.
Wow. And I interviewed them.
You did.
Recently, so I kind of got to talk to them about that. And I know that he said he was not planning on retiring. He's planning to do that as long as possible.
Well, and you know, I think too that I mean, that's what keeps him going, you know, because he stays current with everything. And we're very focused in, of course, you know, we're in the village, but our reach is so much further. And so he tries to stay current with everything. And I think it just helps him. He likes that interaction. He loves people. And he likes to have communication with them. So his show is the perfect outlet for that. And, you know, as long as he wants to keep doing it, I'm like, you go for it.
So when exactly did you start working in radio, would you say? I know your voice has been on there since you've been a child. So when do you say you actually started?
Well, I started in high school, actually, when we were in Glenwood. And that was at a time where you had to get a license from the FCC to be on the air, and we had to post those in our control room. So I got a license, and during, you know, on Saturdays and Sundays, I would do a show. Just, you know, we played country over there. So, you know, it was just, you know, picking songs out and announcing them and, you know, doing time checks and things like that. And I did that in high school. And then I moved to Dallas for about 10 years. I was married and moved to Dallas, had my daughter there, and just decided back in 2003 it was just time to come home. And so we came home, and I started working at the station, really, really getting involved in the day-to-day operations. Which my mom and dad, they were the ones at the time, that did everything day to day. And my mother in particular, I mean, I call her the queen mother, because my daughter is like the princess and I'm like the queen, but she's like the queen mother. I mean, you know, everything, you know, if Miss Polly's happy, everybody's happy. So, I think it was great for her when I came home to start taking some of that burden off of her. And that's when I really just focused in on really learning everything. I mean, you know, from the tiniest thing to the biggest thing, because you never know in radio. You know, people hear it on the radio, but there's a lot that goes in to putting it out. And so just learning all the facts and learning how the equipment runs and, you know, how the computer system runs and just everything like that. So that really prepared me for taking over as general manager, because my mother had a stroke in 2014, and she was no longer capable of doing the day to day. And truly, I didn't want her to. I just wanted her well. And so after she recovered from that, she had her show on with Scotty Mack, Scotty and Polly, which she still comes in and does 3 days a week. The people love her. They love her and Scotty together. And it gets her out, and it gets her interaction with people. And but to handle the day-to-day, she doesn't do that anymore. I took over her office. It took me the longest time to take over her office, because I didn't want to feel like I was kicking her out, even though she was coming in, you know, or 3 days a week.
Yeah.
And so I waited. It was probably almost a year and a half, 2 years before I moved into her office. But then I just bit the bullet. I painted the office, and now I've made it my own with this nice beach theme in there. So, but, you know, it was definitely a learning curve. There was a lot of things I didn't realize she did that she does. But now I know the things to keep up with and check on a daily, weekly basis. And so, you know, I've just trucked on from there.
Yeah, so when you left, did you realize that you would be coming back later to take over as general manager?
You know, probably at that time, no. I was young, you know, early 20s, and just not thinking about, you know, doing that. Because, you know, you always think growing up, your parents are going to be here forever. So, I didn't think about that. And, you know, and I had, you know, I was working in Dallas, And I loved living in Dallas. I love living in the big city. You know, there's just so much to do, and I had a group of friends, but the time just came. My daughter was in kindergarten, and I just wanted something different for her. And so we made the decision to move back here at the end of her, I think it was the last 2 months of kindergarten. And we enrolled her in Jesseville, and she did great. She was actually way more advanced because they were teaching things at a higher rate in Texas than they were here. So it took her a couple of years to get adjusted because she was just further ahead. She needed to be challenged, but she took that role, and at the end of kindergarten, really and basically, she said, "I'm going to be valedictorian." And sure enough, the girl was valedictorian in 2015, and she's on the Wall of Honor now at Jesseville. So I'm thankful that I made the decision to come home to have her in a smaller school like that, because it reminded me of growing up in Glenwood, because at Glenwood, you know, almost everything was on one campus, and Jesseville's the same way. And I wanted that experience for her. I didn't want her to get drowned out by 300, 400 in a class. 'Cause I only graduated with 24 people in Glenwood, and she graduated with 61. So it was kind of the same. And it's just nice knowing everybody. She played in the band, and so on Friday nights, you know, I knew everybody at Jesseville, and I'm so thankful that she had that experience.
Right, I absolutely understand that. I graduated with about 91, so
yeah, and it's cool to still be in contact. I'm in contact with a lot of.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends that I graduated with, and my best friend and I, well, I mean, we've been together since first grade and still best friends to this day. We're both godmothers to both of our children. And so I'm so thankful that God brought me that and took us to Glenwood for that, or else I wouldn't have met Hope, my best friend, and I wouldn't have that extended family in my life.
So do you only have the one daughter, or do you have more?
I have Alyssa, and then I have a stepdaughter, Danielle. She lives here in town, and she does children's ministry at Crossgate Church.
Okay.
For local content like this and much more, subscribe to the Sentinel Record by visiting hotsr.com and clicking subscribe.
So, are you from Hot Springs?
I was born here in Hot Springs, yeah, at the old Ouachita Hospital.
Oh, okay.
So, and my dad will be the first to tell you that he was born there. I think it may have, I don't want to quote him wrong, but that may have been the Methodist Hospital at the time. But him and my mother and myself were all born at the same hospital. So it may have been Methodist at the time, but it was Ouachita when I was there, which is now National Park.
Yeah.
But all three of us were born there.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. It is crazy.
You should have come back before you had your daughter to have her there.
I know. I know.
So do you ever voice track now? You said that you used to do it in high school, and now you took over all those little things up to the big things. So do you still do that, or...
Well, I actually do a show with my dad. It's called Tom and Alice, and it's on around 7:35 every morning. And it's a generational gap. You know, we talk about, you know, what the day is, because there's, you know, there's a national calendar for whatever day it is. Mm-hmm. We talk about that, and we talk about things that we've read, like when I came in today, I read Harry's column. We mention Harry a lot on our show because we love Harry, and go over and do birthdays and things of that nature. And it's a unique show. We don't rehearse it. We just go in there, fly by the seat of our pants. I love to, when we talk about, you know, we talk about songs that were big on that particular day. And it's so funny because I'll be like, because that airs during Tracy's show, my morning man, Tracy Simpson. And if there's a song, I'll be like, okay, Tracy played this song today. So I try to program his show at the same time.
When you went out to Dallas, did you want to go try out something else? And
I did. I guess because I'd just been in radio, you know, growing up, and I knew there were other jobs out there, and I wanted to experience that, which I'm so grateful for, because I just got my basics at National Park, so I don't have a college degree.
Yeah.
I learned on the job training, and I did a lot of bookkeeping and a lot of general ledger, which has helped me now, because I do, you know, I do all. We have an accountant, of course, but I do all the work and prep work, you know, sending all that to our accountant. So, and manage, you know, our daily funds every day. And if I hadn't had that experience, I wouldn't be as proficient in it as I am now. You know, I can build an Excel spreadsheet just like that. But it was because the people I worked with that showed me.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because now I'm in Excel so much, and someone will have a question. I'm like, oh, you don't know how to do that? You know, I'm like, oh, there's a shortcut, you know, here and there. And but yeah, I am. I'm so grateful that, you know, that I did, that I had other jobs, because it's really prepared me now for, you know, running this radio station.
Yeah. So since you never went and got a degree in radio or anything, what advice would you have to someone that wants to get into radio?
Oh, that's a tough question because, you know, they're not teaching things the way that they used to teach things.
I know.
I grew up, you know, with the Tom Nichols philosophy, you know, that, you know, you come in, you apprentice, and you work your way. You work your way up from the bottom, and it takes a special someone to be on the air, and you have to connect with your audience, and they don't teach that anymore. It's more about, I feel like it's almost about, they scream at you, you know, just trying to be loud, try to get your attention. We're not about that. Everything's very listener oriented. And conversational, and you know, if someone wanted to go into broadcasting, into radio, I would suggest just finding a station that, you know, has people that has on air talent. So many of them now, they record their stuff and just put it on.
Yeah.
We're live. And, you know, and we just go with how the day flows with us. And so if you can find someone that can teach you, you know, and you'll really only find that at a smaller radio station. But the problem with that is that there's not many left, because we're one of the few family run left in the state. And it's, you know, it's hard to find. You know, something as unique as having still live on-air announcers that can teach you. I've been blessed with my staff. I couldn't say enough. You know, because all of them, they all talk on the one form or another, and they just go in and roll with it. And we love that. That's just how we are. But definitely, if someone is looking, try to find a smaller station, smaller venue where you can, you know, pick up some kind of the school of hard knocks, you know, and you know, just learning by watching. It is. I tell people, you know, if you haven't been with Tom Nichols, he is by far the, you know, he's the best, and I'm biased because he's my dad, but What you hear on the radio with him is how he is.
Yeah, I'll vouch for you. I met him.
Yes, okay. I mean that's how his voice does not change. It is still he has the radio voice, and it never changes. That's how he is. But you know, if I've learned anything, I learned from him. He always trusts me enunciate. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing. And so I always think about that when I'm recording a spot or something. He's like, just make sure you enunciate, but make it conversational. Don't just make it, a bland commercial. Have some emotion into it.
Yeah.
So
just with our accents, sometimes we tend to leave some parts of words out.
Well, they call me Reba at the office because I was not blessed with my dad's boomer voice. I'm definitely the country girl, but that's okay because people relate to that.
Uh-huh.
And I love that. My dad and I went to go see Lori Morgan at Oaklawn a few weeks back, and I was waiting for him outside the restroom, and this wonderful couple, I was scanning because it was also a Fountain Lake football night,
mm-hmm.
and I was trying to find the scores because we carry Fountain Lake on Friday nights. And so I was looking for the score, and this lady comes up to me, and she's like, I hate to interrupt, but she goes, I just love listening to you and your dad in the morning. I was like, oh, thank you. And then her husband, David, came out, and her name was Winona. And so we just had a great discussion. But I love when people come up and say, they heard me with my dad, because that to me is the biggest accomplishment I think I could have, that I'm with him. And that I work with him every day. Definitely a blessing for me, for sure.
So sweet. So in saying all that,
yes.
If someone were interested, are you guys accepting interns, apprentices?
You could always reach out. Right now my staff is full. But if someone wanted to learn, absolutely. And of course, that's something that I would arrange with my production manager, Scotty Mack.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best. If you want to learn production, he's the one to learn from, because he's been in broadcasting over 50 years. So between him and my dad, I have over 100 years worth of broadcasting in that building. And
mm-hmm.
But he would definitely be the person, and then Tracy, my morning man, just to see how a morning show is run, because Tracy has to be there. He has to sign on at 6 every morning, so he's got to be there, and station doesn't run if he's not there.
Mm-hmm.
So and people don't think about that either, because he has to get up early and come into work, and even when the weather's bad, he's still there.
He finds a way.
He's got four-wheel drive, and he will load his truck down, but he will be there. So definitely if an apprentice wanted to come by, those are the two people that I would have sit in with just to learn.
Okay, good to know. Well, you're obviously doing pretty good for yourself, running a radio station and looking after your parents.
Well, trying.
Yeah.
Trying. I tell my staff all the time, I'm like, we're small, but we're mighty.
Yeah.
And that's what we try to do is, just do the best product we can, for the listener.
Mm-hmm. But do you happen to have any goals you're working towards right now, either for the station or for yourself personally?
Oh, I think about that, from time to time, and because I'm sure there will come a day when, my mom and dad may not want to do anything.
Yeah.
They may want to retire. I don't encourage that at all. Because they're kind of my support system, and I see them every day.
Yeah.
So, but there may come that time, and at that time, then I feel like that I will be ready to entirely take over at that point. That's what I want to do, because we've got such a special thing there. It would be hard for me to give that up, honestly. That's just. It's ingrained in me who I am, and we have good times and hard times, but at the end of the day, that's that's where my passion is. And I take it seriously. I take taking care of my staff seriously, and so as long as the good Lord allows me to run it, that's my goal, is to keep it going. If nothing else, for my mom and dad's legacy,
right?
Because they've built that, and it truly it wouldn't be what it is today without them.
It really wouldn't.
It would not. So.
All right. Well, I guess that's all I have for you. So thanks so much again for coming by.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Thank you for asking me.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Thanks for listening to the HER podcast from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. Join us every Tuesday as we highlight local women and discuss how they are making an impact in the community and what got them to where they are today.